The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered. So damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down the page, and you know you're on your way. The story of your life. You live it every day. You can run, you run, but you won't get away. No one knows what's coming up. Where will you go?
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. It is the first day of September in the year of the plague, 2020. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway in the ReliefFactor.com studio. Let's go through the rundown. Israel strikes in Syria, at least three killed as the Israeli jets zoom over Syria, hitting targeted depots suspected of being Hezbollah and or Iranian depots. Meanwhile, the first flight from Israel to the United Arab Emirates took off and landed yesterday, including National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, assistant to the president, Jared Kushner. Very warm reception, according to the Times of Israel. A kosher banquet and a paradigm change. UAE signals this will be a warm peace. That's very good news for the world. Also good news for the world, schools have reopened. Schools have reopened in Great Britain. Kids went back to school yesterday in Great Britain. And parents will face fines if they do not send their children back to school today. The school minister insisted, and about 40% of schools reopen. The rest are expected next week, according to variations in the country. That's not happening in the United States. Kids are the same as they are in the United Kingdom. One has to wonder why the politicization of schools here. A grand total, I believe, of 86 to 100 children have died from COVID. Now, compare that with car accidents and falls and drownings and all the other tragedies that break our hearts when small children are involved, and it's horrific, but it's also not statistically significant reason to close the schools. The danger from COVID is to older Americans. In fact, they're having a second wave in Spain. If you follow me on Twitter, and I hope you do, at Hugh Hewitt, it's not hard, you just sign up for Twitter and follow me, you'll see over there that I tweeted out from Spain that there's a second wave underway in Spain. But the median age of sufferers has dropped to around the age of 37 from 60. Asymptomatic cases account for more than 50% of positive results, meaning someone has the virus, they don't know it. And that's because they've risen in testing 400%. Health institutions are much better prepared. So what we may have seen was that the lethality of COVID was because it was new. Because it spread so quickly, there were so many asymptomatic carriers, and testing's not really going to matter much. What's going to be matter is that we get people who are sick quickly into the therapies that we know that work, and that we try and protect our elderly population. And I think maybe not just elderly, 60 and older, but definitely 75 and older, and we'll be fine. Russian fighter planes confronted U.S. bombers over the Black Sea. You know how they say Donald Trump is going soft on Russia? Russia doesn't think so. Retail eviction proceedings are picking up. That's actually good news. It's terrible news for the businesses that went bust because of the shutdown. But the fact that landlords are evicting tenants, they're giving them a pay-up notice. For example, there's a story here in the Wall Street Journal that in Miami, a luxury shopping center told Saks Fifth Avenue, pay up or get out. Now, I'm not going to lose sleep over Saks Fifth Avenue. right? It's not a little restaurant that struggled to open up. It's Saks. And they took advantage, like big businesses will, of moratoriums. But now they've been told to pay up. And if they can't, get out. It's a luxury mall. Japan has found a new leader. I think it's pronounced Mr. Suga, S-U-G-A, to replace Shinzo Abe. Suga has been the fixer. Bad news in Los Angeles. Los Angeles sheriff's deputy shot and killed a black man, unidentified at this hour. The Los Angeles arm of Black Lives Matter urged its supporters to mobilize yesterday. More than 100 people had congregated at the scene, but that was late yesterday, so we don't know whether or not that's going to become a source of violence and demonstration. A couple of big lawsuits yesterday. The White D.C. Circuit dismissed the lawsuit seeking to force a subpoena against Donald McGahn, but the full D.C. Circuit said Michael Flynn can't be dismissed as the torture of Michael Flynn continues. It's a shame. It's appalling. The Supreme Court should end that. Meanwhile, in Wall Street world, Zoom. Everybody knows Zoom now, right? I did a Zoom call yesterday for the Nixon Foundation about my 1,000th Zoom call. They reported yesterday, and they blew earnings away. Just absolutely crushed it. 355% increase in revenue year over year. Most analysts had predicted revenue about $500 million, a big jump, but it was $663 million. And shares are going through the roof, as are the shares of Tesla and Apple, which took off yesterday after splits. Let me do a pre-market report brought to you by Birch Gold. You know, I would not tell you to do something that I have not done myself. I bought gold last week. I made another purchase from the only company I trust, which is Birch Gold. So don't wait until the day after the election or when another panic comes around. Buy occasionally. Dollar cost averaging applies there. Gold this morning is at 1,994, been up all week, up about 0.82% this morning. Meanwhile, yesterday, the stock market report to buy Birch Gold, by the way, you go to HughGold.com, H-U-G-H-G-O-L-D.com. And it's a great place to put 10 to 25% of your retirement savings in physical precious metals or gold. Not 100%, not 50%, 25% the max. It is a anchor, a diversification of your portfolio. Some people buy gold stocks. I believe in the physical metal. Or if you buy it and put it in your safety deposit box, don't keep it at home. You'll lose it. Honestly, you'll be like Dwayne. And don't do that. Yesterday, the Dow went down 223, but the NASDAQ went up 79. Split market. Overseas this morning, Japan unchanged, Hong Kong up a little bit, Germany up 0.5%, Britain down 1.3%. So we don't really know what's going to happen here today. My proxy for the tech stocks, Amazon went up $50 yesterday. And at one time reached all-time highs, and I imagine it will be buoyed by Apple and Tesla going up. They had a four-for-one split for Apple and Tesla, not for Amazon. And so the market is just doing great. Gold's doing great. The V-shaped recovery is underway. And so Joe Biden, under pressure, took to the campaign trail yesterday. Remember, Birch Gold, that's HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Joe Biden spoke about violence yesterday because his numbers are plummeting. And people believe the violence is ridiculous, obscene, dangerous. They blame Black Lives Matter and primarily Antifa. And Joe Biden went to Pittston, Pennsylvania, and uttered words that I think we will all remember. Cut number one.
You know me. You know my heart. You know my story, my family story. Ask yourself, do I look like a radical socialist? With a soft spot for rioters? Really?
Okay, so we're going to cut that down to just his question. Just his question. Make that cut number 24, Dwayne. Because his question, do I look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters, is the answer is yes, you do, Joe. Because on your right-hand side is Kamala Harris, and on your left-hand side is AOC. So, yeah, you do. Now, he also didn't make a lot of sense. He started talking about COVID. Cut number two.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Think about it. He also said this, cut number three.
I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking.
But we happen to have a montage of him saying many other things. Cut number four.
No new fracking. We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
Well, like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipe?
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to cooperate.
No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period. End.
Got it? Joe is not telling you the truth. Joe's not sure what he's telling you. But does he look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters? Yeah, he does. Donald Trump was out yesterday as well. We'll play some of that when we return. Happy Tuesday to you. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. As I said in segment one on this Tuesday edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show, campaign is in full swing. Full swing. Do not forget 10for20.com. That's from the Job Creators Network, great sponsor of this show. They are doing the largest conservative get out the vote effort ever. You can be a part of it. All you have to do is go to the number 10, F-O-R, the number 20.com, 10for20.com. Join an army of freedom. They need you to vote in person or by mail, and they need you to tell 10 other people to sign up to tell 10 other people who will tell 10 other people. Do your part. Go to 10for20.com right now. That's the number 10, F-O-R, the number 20.com. So the president gave a White House presser yesterday. He does more questions in a day than Joe Biden does in a month. Well, first, let's play Joe Biden again. Cut number one.
Ask yourself, do I look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters? Really?
And then cut number two.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
I'm not editing. Here's another montage of Joe Biden versus Joe Biden on fracking. Cut number five.
I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
Like, what about, say, stopping fracking and stopping pipe?
I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
No more, no new fracking.
No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
No matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
That is the Joe Biden versus Joe Biden commercial. So the president gets up and gets a question about de Blasio and Ted Wheeler of Portland. Cut number 9.
If you give violent extremists what they want, the violence doesn't go away. They gain new power to spread the terror nationwide. Most of our nation is extremely safe, by the way. You know, you only see the bad. You see Portland and Chicago, and you see what's happened in New York just in a very short period of time. It's horrible what's happened in New York. I love New York. I come from New York. And when I see 4 years ago, I left, and I could see that it was problems under this mayor. He's a terrible mayor, one of the worst. I can't say the worst. I mean, I've witnessed Portland. Hard to top him, but he's certainly one of the worst. And when I look at what's happening in New York and I look at what's happening in the city, and so quickly, it happened so quickly, it's a shame.
But he had some good news as well. Cut number 12.
This evening, I'm pleased to announce that AstraZeneca vaccine has reached phase 3 clinical trials. So that's joining another group of vaccines that are very close to the end and hopefully approval. In the United States, we're doing things that nobody thought would have been even possible. This is a process that would have taken, in some cases, years, and we did it in a matter of months. Thanks to the efforts of Operation Warp Speed, we remain on track to deliver a vaccine very rapidly in record time.
Including the number of rapid point-of-care COVID tests. Cut number 11.
Last week, we announced a breakthrough in testing that will allow us to have over 150 million rapid point-of-care tests. These tests return the results in less than 15 minutes, and many will be deployed to nursing homes. We're focusing very strongly on nursing homes.
That is great news, but I also want to play Joe Biden as he emerges from a Pittsburgh fire station.
Hey, Joe! Hey. You finally got out of the basement! Hey, Joe!
He took some pizza into the firehouse, but he had some people saying, you were against fracking, now you're for fracking. And Joe says to him, somewhat curiously, don't jump. Not sure what that meant. Joe did not have a good day on the campaign trail yesterday. Trump had a great day. I think that's going to be again and again and again. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show.
A time a long, long time ago, Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right, hey man, sing me.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, that's 5 for fighting John Androzic. It's always good to have one great friend in the music industry, and John is a great friend. He's a great, great supporter of the troops. He does so many benefits out there. What a wonderful human being. And I just love his music. Now, let's go to the president, who was on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox last night. But first, I want to play you the two key Joe Biden cuts. Cut number 1.
Ask yourself, do I look like a radical socialist with a soft spot for rioters? Really?
And then cut number 2.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Of course, it could just be the teleprompter. Right. Donald Trump doesn't need a teleprompter. He went on Fox with Laura Ingraham last night. Cut number 13.
So if it weren't Donald Trump's America to just use the expression as I'm president,
you would have riots like you've never seen. The Democrats have lost control of the radical left. Don't forget, Biden wasn't going to come out of his basement until the election. He had to because the polls are so good. For me, now he had to because the polls are different. So,
cut number 14.
So I've done criminal justice reform. I saved the historically black colleges and universities. What they went through is for years, including
with
Obama.
Funding.
Prison reform, criminal justice reform.
Next term.
Opportunity zone. More of the same. And in fact, I actually said in the speech, the best is yet to come. And I've been treated very well, at least in the polls. I hope, you know, I hope that translates because, unfortunately, the African-American, the black community has been so used to going and oppressing a Democrat lever. And what have they got out of it? They've got nothing. Obama didn't give them criminal justice reform. I did. Obama didn't give them opportunity zones. I did. Obama didn't do all of the things. Didn't save. Obama could have saved the historically black colleges and universities. He didn't do anything for them. He didn't do anything for them. I've done more. And I said in the speech, some people would say you shouldn't say it. It's too aggressive. I said, what's aggressive? I've done more than any president in the history of our country, except for maybe maybe Abraham Lincoln. The reason I say maybe is I'll explain that to you later. Okay.
All right.
I've done more for the black community than any president in the United States, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln. And it's true. Criminal justice reform was such a big deal. And look what Biden did in 1994. What he did to people, to black people.
He called the criminals predators.
Well, he called them predators.
Super predators
yeah. Actually. Yeah. He called them super predators.
So when you see the unrest on the streets, and so much of it is driven by an antipathy toward law enforcement,
yeah.
And, you know, more African Americans are stopped by the police, the statistics that are cited over and over again. What can you say to those families who live on those streets and who are worried? They're worried because they think their sons or even their daughters could be targeted. Because I know, because I've known you for a long time, you don't want that. You want people to all be treated equally. But they have a caricature of Republican voters, and you're the leader of the party. What do you say to them about that mischaracterization?
What the black community wants in this country is they want police and they want law and order. They don't want what's happening to their communities. They're being affected in a much harsher, meaner manner than anybody else. That includes Hispanics, where I'm doing very well also. Look, they want law and order. They want the police. You know, they do polls, and the polls are at 82-83%. They want the police. They've gotten along with the police, and the police have been very badly mistreated because you have one bad apple, and it becomes a story for weeks.
Okay, now, the president mentioned polls. Let me tell you the latest shock to Team Biden. Emerson poll came out head-to-head yesterday. Biden 49, Trump 47. Now, I see it routinely reported. There's a shy Tory effect of at least 2%, maybe more, meaning that a lot of people who are for Trump won't say so. So if he's down by 2, that's a dead heat, or he's ahead. In Missouri, he's up 11. His approval rating is plus 2 in the Emerson poll. Emerson is not a Republican poll. Emerson is Emerson. I don't think it's a particularly fair poll towards Republicans, but this one, big bump for Trump out of the convention. Back to Laura Ingraham talking about the Green New Deal. Cut number 15.
He's going to do $4 trillion in tax increases. He's going to do things that are going to cost so much on the Green New Deal, which is done by a child. Okay, that's the mind of a child, because the Green New Deal is ridiculous. It doesn't work. They're going to do things under the Green. You know, the Green New Deal, if you actually did it, is $100 trillion. That's more money than this country could make in 1,000 years.
Yeah, the Green New Deal is actually a science project by a seventh grader. Donald Trump talked to Laura Ingraham about why he's going to Kenosha today. Cut number 16.
Because I am a tremendous fan of law enforcement. And I want to thank the law enforcement. They've done a good job. And when the governor says that I shouldn't come or he'd prefer that I not come, I'm the one that called him and said, Tony, you got to bring out the National Guard. Well, I don't really want to do it. Tony, you got to bring it out. And unlike your governor of Oregon that just keeps saying no, He agreed to it, at least. Now, he agreed to a small number, but the small number was plenty.
But isn't it a political motivation? They don't want you to come to Blue State America because they don't want the media to have to cover what's really happening on the ground.
True.
Isn't this political?
That's true. If you look at what's going on in Blue, as you call it, Blue State America, Blue City America, you look at what's going on in New York, you look at what's going on in these states, Chicago is a disaster, Portland, you look at Portland. Now, Portland's a little different. That's anarchists, and that's, I actually think, in many ways, that's easier to handle. I think Portland is very easy to handle because that's a group of anarchists that are paid by the outside. And, you know, we put a lot of people in jail. I don't know if you know this or not. Remember, 3-4 months ago, we were having a problem with monuments. They were ripping down statues and monuments all
over the place. Democrats didn't say anything about that.
No, the Democrats had no control. It actually got out of control even for them.
And he went on to, I'm sure he went on to say he threatened him with 10 years in jail and it stopped. He did talk about Joe Biden and why he cannot bring order. Cut number 17, Donald Trump with Laura Ingraham.
Now, Biden won't calm things down. They will take over. They will have won. If Biden gets in, they will have won. He's a weak person. He's controlled like a puppet. So it's not going to be calm things down. It's going to be they will have won. They will have taken over your cities. It's a revolution. You understand that. It's a revolution. And the people of this country will not stand for that. They're not going to stand for that. The vast majority of people feel like me. They feel like every time I put law and order.
Stop there for a second. He hit on it there. You understand that, don't you, Laura? It's a revolution. What he means by that is that there is always that 1/10 of 1% of nutters out there who think this is 1918, who think this is 1848, who think the time has come for the collective consciousness to emerge from the oppressed peoples and the workers of the world unite and overthrow the capitalist system. Sometimes it's dressed up in black. Sometimes it's dressed up in red. Sometimes it's simply incoherent. But the president knows that the hardcore are way to the left of the Democrats, but the left wing is controlling many of the Democrats. And he talks about why he's so aggressive. I think this is very revealing as well. Cut number 18, the president with Laura Ingraham on Fox.
I have to be aggressive because I'm like standing here in a sea of incompetent people, stupid people, and violent people, very violent.
But that's
people.
The kind of language, stupid
that's
people.
Okay.
That's a lot of women don't
it's
like
also
that.
The, well, where are we? Oh, we're in the White House, I see. Okay, so I'm standing here in a sea of people, and we need law and order in this country, and women see that with me. You're never going to have law and order with Biden.
So he's making a joke that the reason I'm president is not because people like me. It's because I bring order out of chaos. He also was very blunt about the Black Lives Matter corporate organization. Not the slogan, not all the people who march, but the people who organize BLM. Cut number 19.
They just do what's the easiest path. That's not the easy path. That's a very dangerous path. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. You remember pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. That was the first time I ever heard of Black Lives Matter. I said, that's a terrible name. It's so discriminatory. It's bad for black people. It's bad for everybody. And all of a sudden it becomes like sort of, although now if you look, it's going way down because people are tired of this stuff, what's going on, the Black Lives Matter. If you look at what's going on with the bats and the a lot of thugs.
Running through D.C. last night.
Oh, it's terrible what's going on.
They murdered someone in Portland 2 nights ago. So Donald Trump talks very specifically to his supporters via Laura Ingraham last night. Cut number 20.
He's a weak person. He's been weak all his life, but now he's really weak. He shouldn't be running for president. He should not be there.
But do you want your supporters to confront the left-wing protesters,
no.
Or do you want to leave it to law
enforcement? No, I don't
want
them. I want to leave it to law enforcement. But my supporters are wonderful, hardworking, tremendous people. And they turn on their television set and they look at a Portland or they look at a Kenosha before I got involved and stopped it. Or they look at Chicago where 78 people were shot last weekend and numerous people died. Or they look at New York where violence is up by like, what, 150%. It's up by a number that nobody and people are leaving. They're looking at all of this and they can't believe it. They can't believe it, whether it's my supporter
them,
or not.
But you don't want them showing
no,
up.
No, I don't.
To...
Well, it's a peaceful protest. I mean, they were right. Protesting. They weren't. You know, it's amazing. They want to protest. and they get criticized. The other people run through the streets, burn down storefronts, hurt people, beat people, and kill people, kick people in the face. That would have happened to Rand Paul, by the way, and his wife, except that you had two and then ultimately four very good policemen who took a big beating. They took a big beating. And they really saved Rand Paul. In fact, we're going to bring him into the White House and give him some kind of an accommodation, because they really, what they did was very brave, actually. I mean, can you imagine? I'm saying policemen were brave because they're escorting. But they're escorting a U.S. senator and his wife. And as Rand said, he would have been killed if they weren't there.
It's Isn't it true also, time. Mr. President, that...
It is really remarkable what's going on in this country, and Trump is speaking to it, and he's ahead. Oh, he's down by 2 points in the Emerson poll. He's come back that far, yesterday's poll. Drucker is next on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Ace political reporter David M. Drucker joins me now. Follow David on Twitter at David M. Drucker to translate that for us. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Hugh.
What did the vice president mean to say?
Well, anytime he can keep the focus on the virus, he's going to try and do that. And so that's what he's doing.
But what did that mean?
It means you think about the virus. I mean, I'm not in the guy's head. You know, what the Biden campaign wants to do is keep the focus on the pandemic. It is a very good issue set for the former vice president.
All right.
So
I caught your call.
If he can do that, he will do that.
I caught you cold. I'm going to play it a second time, and then we're going to come back to Drucker and ask him to translate Joe Biden cut number two.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it. More lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
So you think the prompter broke, David Drucker?
I do not know, Hugh. I wasn't looking at the prompter. But
I think the line meant, think about it. We haven't lost this many lives to a pandemic in 100 years. It's been the worst pandemic in 100 years. Can you imagine having the worst record vis-a-vis public health in 100 years? That's what I think he meant to say. But I don't know that Joe can deliver a speech, Dave.
Well, I think that with his convention speech, he probably allayed some of those concerns to rest. I do think the debates, the ability to put together a coherent, effective argument at the debates and do it in a way that gives people confidence that he can handle the job is the next big test for him. And, you know, we'll see if he's able to deliver on that front.
Now, David, I've been asking a lot of Beltway types, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I think you would be a fine debate moderator. I thought Jonathan Swan would be a fine debate moderator. I've mentioned Lester Holt and John Dickerson and Dana Bash. But most of the debate moderators out there that the commission likes are lefties. Do you think they're going to come up with fair-minded people, and do you think they're going to have three, meaning a moderator and two opinion journalists like me and Rachel Maddow, or are they going to try and fool us into believing they've got fair people running these things?
Well, one, nobody's called me. Two, there's not going to be any opinion journalists. And three, at the end of the day, I don't know that it's going to matter. And I'll say it this way. President Trump, at the very least, thrives on being combative with reporters or media figures that he thinks are not treating him fairly. And sometimes it works for him. So in some ways, I wonder if he's more comfortable with somebody other than who you're thinking of. And number two, I think the big test really for Biden and in some ways for Trump is not so much whether or not they're asked, fair questions and have some sort of discourse, but just how they appear on stage, both visually and how they sound, right? If you can handle questions in a way that shows that you know who you are and know what you're talking about and have some energy about you, I think in a campaign like this where opinions are about as fixed as I have ever seen them. I think that's all of it's really going to matter.
Well, let me play for you cut number three. Joe Biden yesterday in Pittston. Cut number three.
I am not banning fracking. Let me say that again. I am not banning fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump lies about me.
Now, a real moderator, David, would do what I did and play the 20 times, Donald, that Joe Trump has said he's banning fracking. That's what I said. Mr. Vice President, you've said you're not banning fracking. On these six occasions, you said you're banning fracking or you're stopping fracking, you're ending fossil fuels. Which is it? I mean, that's what a real moderator would do. Do you think we'll hear that question?
It's possible. I don't know that we will, but it's possible.
It should be asked. It should be asked. It should be. Now, last question. Emerson came out yesterday. Emerson, that's not a Republican poll. Biden's lead is down to 2 points nationally, David. What do you make of that?
I make of it one poll. Let me see other polls. So I do not either discount it or elevate it. I just say it's one poll. And it's not a poll that I dismiss. Look, what I try and do with polls, I did this in 2016. I did this in 2018. I try and take the totality of the polls, look at the trends. I don't dismiss polls that seem to go, you know, against what my analysis might be. I don't, you know, get super excited about polls that seem to be in favor of what my think my analysis is of the campaign. I just look at the polls and I put them together. I follow the averages. I look at the trends, and what they say is what they say. So I saw the Emerson poll. I took note of it. Look, there have been a couple of Trafalgar polls and these swing states in the Midwest that have been very good for Trump. I've expected this race to tighten all along, and I expect it to be tight. And that's where I think the campaign is headed.
It's the first post-convention poll. I expected it to close to about 6 points. I didn't expect it to be two. We'll see what else. The poll average is always what I use, too. But, boy, that's an interesting data point. David M. Drucker on Twitter. Thank you, David. Come right back. Hour number two of the September 1, 2020 You Hear It Show is right ahead. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.